The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is the 22nd of June, 2016, and we're sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com. Dr. Wong will be here Friday, barring no more Skype problems. We had major problems last week, and we couldn't get him on, so we're going to give it a big shot on Friday again. He's down in Texas with all the flooding and everything, and they're having all kinds of internet problems and all that. So we wish him well, and we look forward to talking to him Friday. Also, too, unleash your strength with relentless metabolic endurance through 100% pure, wholesome, organic foods. Athlete's Choice is the only product with the ultimate results you're looking for. Primal Creations at AOL.com, Facebook, STEPHEN, period, SANTANGELO, period, 75. That's our good friend Steven Santangelo, who's on here every month and has been a very, very good person to me, and I appreciate all he's done for me. So check that out. Also, too, on Fiorello Barbell Co., Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle. It's a free ebook. Download it, commit, take action, and persevere. That's the best thing I can tell you with any of it. Also, too, on FiorelloBarbellCo.com, Strength Times Power Equals Success and the Winner's Circle. Those are my two biggest products to date. I stand behind them 100%. I'm looking out at our laboratory out my office window. That's where everything's done in the gym in the driveway. No one writes our content. No one ever will, and no one's ever going to be able to do the stuff we're doing. We just do bizarre shit all the time. I love doing it. I love everything I do here, and I will help you out any way I can. You can contact me through Fiorello Barbell at nicap.r.com. Lots of fun, let me tell you. Well, today we have a good friend of the show. We have Mike Gillette on with us, and I am going to give you a little bit here about this gentleman. Number one, Army paratrooper, SWAT commander, bodyguard, the Fortune 500 executives, record-breaking motivational strongman. He is also a writer and author. And Mike, to me, is a guy, you know, if you've listened to some of our shows, you know, from his beginnings to where he is today, that's what we're all about here. You're dealing with a lot of crap people are all the time. And some have very unhappy childhoods or things that they have to conquer. Mike is one of these people that realized as a young man in life what he wanted to do, and he did it. And here he is today, a very successful not only businessman, strength athlete, and he is quite a motivator. And we're going to talk about something. This is stuff we love talking about, the how and what of how to become the best, how to take it to the best. So, Mike, welcome to Motivation Muscle, sir.
Good morning, Eric. Great to be back.
Good to have you. As I always say, anything I missed, put it out there, and we'll start how to be the best, man, which is very I love these type of subjects. So take it away, please.
Well, let's get to it. I think the intro was just fine.
Okay. You know, being the best, you and I both know a lot of people, everything now, they throw slogans and this, that, and the other thing. But I think you and I obviously agree on one thing, that a lot of the mainstream stuff we're going to kind of rebuke here. We're going to give our own style of what it is to be the best and how to be that way. So real easy first, let's define through you what you feel are the necessary steps to become the best.
Well, I think that it's good to sort of put the best in context, because when I think of the best, I think of two applications. There are the things that we want to have happen so that we can be the best versions of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in that sense, you know, for Mike Gillette, I'm not competing against anyone except myself. There are standards I have. I want to meet those standards, hopefully exceed them, have new standards, and just sort of repeat that process until one day I fall over dead because I was too freaking awesome.
Yeah.
At the same time, there is the use of the term the best, because there are some people who are in the legitimate process of pursuing that.
Yep.
For example, when we finish our conversation this morning, I'm jumping in the car and I'm heading to a nearby campus where I'll be working with a small group of athletes that are part of one of the most successful wrestling teams historically in the history of collegiate sports.
Awesome.
These are guys who legitimately are pursuing being the best. And for them, you can actually quantify what best is, or being among the best. For them, what they want is not just to be all Americans. They want to be national champions as individuals, and hopefully even go on from there, compete internationally, and so forth. So when we talk about the best, we need to get kind of specific. Well, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
For the majority of us, being the best is really about being the best version of ourselves that we can possibly be. And mm-hmm. hopefully that refers to some balance, to be sort of what I like to call a full spectrum human, not just, hey, I'm really great at arm wrestling, but I have no coping skills and can't
mm-hmm.
stand to be around me because I just sort of suck as a person. and we've met people like that. And,
yep.
We want to help people like that, because there's more than just the arm wrestling. If you've got nobody around you, no one can enjoy your arm wrestling. So I think that the most critical step for most people, and I'm going to talk maybe more about younger folks, millennials, that generation of people that people can't stop complaining about.
Yeah.
And ironically, it's not millennials' fault that they're just sort of soft and maybe not motivated, because if you are raised in a setting where expectations are low and everything you do is just amazing, look at Billy made his bed. That's amazing. Have a cookie.
Yep.
Eventually Billy's going to realize that everything he does is considered amazing. And when everything you do is considered amazing, you go to your first job, you have some pretty jacked up expectations. Hey, I showed up for work. Where's my cookie?
Yeah.
We expect everyone to show up for work, Billy. Yeah, but I want a cookie. So Billy's going to be disappointed. He's going to feel resentment. His job performance is going to suffer. There's going to be less cookies for Billy, and so on and so on. So
mm-hmm.
The key is really to understand that to be your best means, challenging yourself.
Correct.
And for younger people, maybe that's daunting just because, hey, I'm not familiar with that. What is that, and why should I? The alternative part of that is, who are the older people in your audience, maybe closer to your age or even closer to my age?
Yep.
We understand that things that are hard can be intrinsically rewarding, but things that are hard can also be scary, and they can be scary for a number of reasons. And I personally believe that one of the things that prevents people from aspiring to be the best version of themselves is maybe they've sort of tried that in the past and it didn't go well,
mm-hmm.
unsuccessful, or they started off with great enthusiasm, but people use expressions like this, but then life got in the way.
Yep.
Whatever that means, and life getting in the way, I think, is just a universally accepted excuse for you punked out and you compromised on your dream, which sucks. It sucks because it's disappointing when you see that happen.
Mm-hmm.
So for people to aspire to be their best, Eric, I think they have to do what is really, really scary, and that is they have to open themselves up to the possibility of pursuing your dream. Because
mm-hmm.
once you open yourself up to it, you are vulnerable. You know, it's just like a relationship. Mm-hmm. People talk about, hey, I don't want a relationship, man. I just don't want to get hurt again. I understand that. We all understand that. But to cut yourself off from a significant part of what makes life, you know, interesting and rewarding and satisfying ends up making people less alive.
Mm-hmm.
People who don't pursue something that's meaningful for them, whatever that is, you know, maybe they want to learn to paddleboard, but you know, who cares what the specific application is? The mentality that drives it is the constant. And if you can open yourself up, you know, I'd really like to, and I was having a conversation with a gentleman about this just the other day, and I said, if people would just take a moment, take a deep breath, and think about what I would really like to do, and then just say it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Just give it utterance. Say it, and then once they've heard themselves say it, it's like, holy crap, I actually said that thing out loud. That mm-hmm. must actually be what I want to do. That must be important to me. Okay? Now it's out there, and you know it's out there. You know, and then just start running it down.
But yep.
It's easy to go to the gym. It's easy to go to the track. It's easy to, you know, to take a class. And that's progress, and it's fine. But it's not really demanding anything of you, because if you have to stop, if you're only in something, you know, sort of half-ass,
mm-hmm.
and something goes wrong, that doesn't hurt. Life is so much more meaningful when if something gets in the way of what we're doing, it hurts.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, with what you've been pursuing, you know,
yep.
and the, you know, the physical setback, you've got some unfinished business, and it's in a land far away in Chile. But you need to do it, and it drives you forward. And people will tell me, yeah, you know, Mike, I get what you're saying, but if that thing that I want to have, in what if I can't quite get there? Won't I be sad? Won't that be a problem for me? And I'll say, yeah, you'll be sad, but imagine that you've just lived your life the last 5 years in just this hard, earnest, gut-wrenching pursuit of this amazing thing, whatever the mm-hmm. thing is. And let's say, okay, 5 years have gone by and you didn't quite get there. Okay, that's disappointing, but who are you now? Those
right.
5 years changed you. They made you better. They made you someone who has more to share experientially, just in terms of the wisdom that you've gained, the perspective that you now have, even if you don't quite get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it's such a cliche to say, you know, life is a journey, it's not a destination, but it's true, because
correct. Now
we always die before we get to our destination. It just happens. You know, we run out the clock. So how can we just be the most amazing version of ourselves in the meantime? Well, by pursuing amazing things, by trying to do amazing things for other people, by being an amazing example. That, to me, is how the majority of us who are not involved in a competitive endeavor can still be after what it is to be the best.
No, I agree. And like one of the things I put out on like words of inspiration yesterday was, you know, do something you've never done before, you know, live the experience. And that I think today, I think it is very scary for people. But I want to tell you something about pursuits and being the best and what it's done to me in so many ways. I mean, obviously everyone knows the Iceland story, you know. There's a lot of things going on here outside of there. I mean, I'm trying to grow two businesses right now, and there is no try. I am. Number one, money is always a big factor. When you travel, not cheap. When you stay there for 10 days, not cheap. No excuses, but these are all things that are fundamentally into everything you're doing that you have to consider. And I have three major things, well, probably four, I would say, right now. Obviously, and I say this with no, this is no smart ass thing to anybody out there. I plan on both companies being multi-million dollar companies when I'm done with them. Number one. Number two, we're going to go over to Iceland and crush that Húsafell stone and get that monkey off my back, because that was where I had the most trauma in my life, obviously, other than losing Jimmy and my father and people in the family. That was the biggest trauma to me mentally and physically in the context of any type of training. But training is no different than me breathing my DNA. It is me. That's who I am. I don't separate the two. I am defined as a man, a weightlifter, a stone lifter, an uncle, you know, you name it. Okay, that's all in the mix. Secondly, you know, I've had invitations. I want to go to Scotland and get the Invern the Dinnies. And I've said this recently, Spain, I just got this bug right now where I want to learn how to Basque stone lift, which that, you know, you talk about pursuing three things that are almost unimaginable to most people that will take you, you will literally rip your heart right out of you at times. But yet, and this is the big thing, I pursue because I want to be the best I can be. And that falls even more so outside of the gym. Because as I've said on the show to you and multiple other guests with the family here, is this: we have solutions for people. We have an obligation to people, and by God, I want to help as many people as I can before I get vanquished off the earth, all right? But I'll give you an example, Mike, from Monday night. It's been very humid here. It's cooled down a little bit. It looks like we're going to get some more rain, but it's been hot, and it's been pretty warm already, even though we just entered into summer the other day. And my brother was over, and he's working on a big deadlift again, so he's back training with me once a week. And he was doing his deadlifting, and I was in the rack doing my pulls with the big Husa steel stone, and then I had the other one, the crusher, out in the driveway. And this is what I did. 5 rounds back and forth where I'd pull from maybe about 6 inches above the ankle. Dead stop pull, obviously, and I started in at 240 and finished off at 390. And every time I'd grab one of those and rip it out of the rack, I immediately ran outside, and I'm doing like a sprint program that Steven Santangelo gave me to do with that stone, if you can believe it. So I'm doing a sprint down and back with it as fast as I can, dropping the thing. Mark would go, my brother, he'd do his deadlift, might get a little puff, grab a little swish of water, spit it out, load the Husa steel up again, go. Now, I went back and forth like that. My garage was 103 degrees in there that night. It was absolutely brutal. And I was talking with Andrew Derniat. We did a show yesterday, which was very interesting, that kind of answered a lot of these questions of persuasion. And this is all going with my thoughts with being the best. Even though I had the blueprint all churned in my head, I could see everything I was going to do, I had to persuade myself those last few sets, especially when I got up to 390 after I came back from the run with the other stone, that you got to get in here and lock this thing in those forearms and do it. You cannot drop it. You cannot do anything but succeed with it. Obviously, I did succeed with it. I did my last run with the other stone and came back. Now, These are the things that a lot of people, and we don't have to compare what I'm doing to anybody because I wouldn't do that. But, you know, when you talk about, you know, millenniums and, you know, people have been propped up and pampered and told they've never done anything wrong, basically. I've seen it all over the place. You know, they walk around, you know, like they're king shit usually. They always got a phone in their hand, you know, big shot, you know, the whole thing. I could care less about any of that stuff. The real testing ground, when you have to drop all your objects and your trinkets and there's nobody in there either between you and the other person that's training you or whatever you're doing, or you and yourself, that's when it becomes a scary process for most people. Now, as you know, I train alone the majority of times. I don't have any rah-rah out there. I don't have anybody telling me, come on, Eric, lift that thing. I don't have anybody loading my weights. I don't have anybody moving my stones, nothing like that. Why do I do that? Well, number one, I pretty much can't train in a gym because I've been escorted out before, okay? And I knew that I had a decision to make with all that, and I knew I had to go on my own. Now, for me, that was the best thing that ever happened to me, because I've said this before. Not only did I become very creative with building equipment, because the necessity was not to get killed or maimed out there. So by doing this process and learning these standards and the attributes you need to succeed, and just the spark you have in yourself mentally and physically. You know, even though Mark was here the other night, you know, and he's a great guy to train with, exceptional athlete, and he'd be out there pushing me, yelling and stuff. I didn't even hear him, Mike. I mean, that, because I have been alone for so long now and learned that you must rely on yourself. When I step out in Husafell, everybody in God's green earth can be screaming, come on, Eric, you can do that. I don't hear one of them, man. It's like muffle. That's all I hear. I go approach the stone. I know what I got to do. It's coming up or it's not. And it comes up, it's either going around that sheep pen or it's dropping, either or. And that's me. See, I garner the responsibility and I enjoy all that. Is it easy at times here? Hell no. You know, when you've had one of those days with the business where you're like, holy cow, are we going to be able to even make it for tomorrow? But you know what? When I go out there, it's all dropped. My sanity returns to me. As I always say, strength equals sanity, and away I go. So give me your feedback, whatever you think. I mean, I know I went on, but those things are, I just feel that a lot of that stuff that I just spoke about, I think if people would just take even a sentence out of there and reconstruct it to their own liking, or put it in raw the way it is, and go out and give it an honest try, and not quit after the first time, you know, you broke a fingernail, or, you know, you just didn't do well. The adventure, not only you can live, but outside in the real world, you will succeed beyond your furthest expectation. So take it away, boss.
I like what you shared, Eric, and so much of it, and I think so much of what we often talk about is really about perspective. And the idea of seeing things the best way possible in order to do the best things, to have the most you possible. And I was actually, I was conducting a workshop just yesterday afternoon, and I shared a particular observation during that time. When I do workshops for groups of athletes, sort of independent of the sport in question, because it doesn't really matter. And if it's a group of athletes that are relatively new to the idea of mental training strategies, I'll usually have, unless it's a particular type of sport, I mean, there are certain sports that are so sort of unique unto themselves that the athletes really get the necessity of the mental component, or they've lived and competed without it, and they understand that there's a piece missing somehow. So there are a handful of sports where I think athletes are particularly hungry for that information, but there are a lot of sports where the athletes tend to be more, I will say, skilled rather than just physical.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I talked about wrestling a moment ago. You don't have to be the greatest athlete if you're really strong and run,
mm-hmm.
or if you're just really tough and you just are unrelenting, you can be very formidable without a very sophisticated repertoire of techniques. Other sports are extraordinarily technique intensive, you know, golf.
Yes. Yeah.
Things like that. And we tend to not characterize someone who plays golf or someone who plays tennis as a physical person, because they don't really look like most people's conception of a physical person. They may be, but they also may have developed themselves, you know, into a compatible physique with the unique demands of that sport. But here's the thing, perspective. Let's say that I'm talking to a room full of tennis players.
Yep.
I'll usually, you know, as I check in with their coach after the fact, you know, if I do follow-up visits, whatever it happens to be, I'll usually find that, you know, typical athletes, you know, not bad, but not necessarily exceptional. There will be a sort of spectrum of results, and that will be 80% of the kids will get something out of it, will have found something that they can sort of latch onto and that they'll start putting into practice with, you know, varying degrees of result. Okay. Which leaves us with 20%. Well, 10% just were never even there. They weren't in the room, even though they were in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever their reason was, you know, disinterested, they're unmotivated, or they just didn't connect with what I'm saying. They didn't like the t-shirt I was, whatever it is,
sure,
they weren't having it. And then there's the last 10%. And these are kids who email me, mm-hmm, that want to follow up with me, because a few months later, they will say things like, that was the greatest, I started doing that thing you said or those things you shared, and everything changed. Everything changed.
Hey, Mike, can I just come in for 1 second?
Yeah.
Just 1 second. See, this is what I've always admired about you, and this is no kissing up either. I like, not only your story is something that everybody should read about, but the thing with you is, I mean, I've never gone to a seminar, and I hope to God I meet you in the next few years too, because I'd be very humbled to do that. The thing I like about you is, and I'm sure, you know, you could be very forceful and hard-assed and all that, but you don't come across as a guy that, you know, is going to try to shove it down your throat. But when you look at you, obviously, you can see you mean business. You've been around the block a few times. You've absorbed injuries like myself. You've lived life. And I think what you're doing, especially the younger kids, I mean, I love this kind of stuff. I love when you and I talk about this, or anybody on the show, because to me, you're making a difference in a young person's life, which I know everybody needs help these days, it seems. But, you know, the youth are what's coming up behind everybody now. And it's like, if you can go out and get a few of them under your tent where they're emailing you, you know, 5%, whatever, and they're interested in what you said, and it touched them. I know as a young kid, a few people in weightlifting and training and things of that nature, they made me feel like I could do it. You know, a young kid that wanted to learn, wanted to get as big as he could. You know, you're looking at these other guys, they're just regular dudes walking around the street, but man, they look at mean business. So, you know, my compliments are to you, because what you're doing is exceptional. It should, you know, this is what I'm trying to do with the show and everything else. I'm trying to take all this stuff we talk about and get it all over the planet, because I can't emphasize this enough, not only with the obligation, but I feel there is a need for what we do out there now more than ever. I didn't mean to get into your stuff, but I had to give you a compliment, because I just think I like to recognize people, and whether people care or not, I always think it's a very good thing to acknowledge exceptionalism. So in my book, you're exceptional.
Well, I appreciate that, Eric, and it's a very interesting space that I occupy, and
yep,
it didn't really happen with any grand design, but I sort of seem to be able to have the opportunity to pivot between working with, you know, high-end athletes where you're trying to move the needle, but the needle's not going to move a lot because they're already so advanced.
Yep.
But, you know, that's just from a professional challenge perspective, that's very interesting work. But I also have opportunities to work with, you know, young people. Now, some of these young people are exceptional, and some of them are just what most of us are, which are just people who are enjoying a period in life where, you know, being physical, you know, kind of comes naturally, and we want to enjoy that and have success with that particular chapter of our life. So, you know, thanks for the compliment. It's rewarding for me. It's very easy work to do because who wouldn't enjoy doing that sort of thing? Well, there's probably people who wouldn't. I don't care about them. So,
yeah.
Getting back to the matter of perspective, these
yep.
kids, okay, the kids that will follow up with me, or I've been requested to follow up with them because they seem to really be digging into that type of material, were the same kids that were in the room with the kids that weren't paying attention, they got nothing out of it, as well as that 80%. Cross section that are doing anywhere from okay with it to pretty well. But there's always that small group.
Yep.
And what is interesting to me, and it continues to be, even though I'm expecting it to happen now because it's a consistent pattern, is that it's the same room. It's the same information. I'm the one guy who put that information across.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't because, I was really great, in one part of the room, and I wasn't so great in another part of the room. It was the same message. And all it was, and hopefully will continue to be, is the perspective of those athletes in that moment. For whatever reason, they decided, hey, this is valuable. This means something. I'm going to do those things he's saying.
Yep.
And then they do those things, they reap the rewards. And it all sort of stems from the priority that you place upon the information. Now,
yep.
What you do to the average person, you're lifting weights, you're moving heavy objects through space. To the average
yep.
person, they think they've seen that before. They don't necessarily know what they're looking at when you do it. They don't, understand the nuances of technique. They don't understand the unique difficulties of some of the things that are specific to your training regimen.
Right.
So it doesn't necessarily appear special or necessarily appear valuable or life-changing. The exact same video, if you will, of Eric Fiorello doing what Eric does could be viewed by someone else, and that person goes, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I've been looking for. I want to do those kinds of things, and that's the guy. That's the guy that can take me to that place. And it's solely the perspective of that person or that group of persons. We all are looking at the world. We all have access, thanks to the internet, to pretty much the same amount of information. Everything is out there,
yep.
if you want to dig for it. All of the tools are there. At least in the U.S., there aren't many people who can't find their way to a high school weight room or a YMCA or a police athletic league or some place where there's some heavy stuff that
yep.
is free or nearly free, so you don't have to belong to like a gee whiz gymnasium or anything like that. Everything is there. The constituent parts to become amazing in a physical context, because that's who your audience is, it's there. So why isn't everybody doing it?
Right.
It's perspective. It's seeing the value and then pursuing something valuable to experience valuable results.
Mike, we talked about this yesterday, when we were talking about Basque lifting and stuff. And we were talking about football programs, as all know now, is most high school are using a lot of the strongman implements, whether it's sandbags, farmers walks, tire flips, et cetera, et cetera. And we were talking about yesterday how I know everything's litigation and all this, and it might be a hard thing to accomplish, but we were talking about setting up a number of stones in a big sand pit and having the whole team circle whoever was had to do the medley for the day, whether it was pick that stone up X number of times, you know, drop it back in the sand, and the camaraderie and the way it would build a foundational physicality that very few things out there can do. Now, I realize what we're talking about here, the sale. Everything is a sale to a point. You know, you want people to come along. Some might poo-poo it. Some might not excel in it. But I do believe everyone has talent and potential. And I have a tendency sometimes to really go more towards the underdog these days because they may not be as gifted as the high-end athlete that everybody stands up and claps for. But in the end, a lot of these guys are natural leaders. They're very intelligent out on the field, and they basically lead an army. And that's what I was talking about with these stones, how, you know, in the fourth quarter, you're not going to see anybody with their hands three-quarters of the way down their thigh trying to get a gasp. And you know, this creates a super athlete to me. And obviously, you know my stake in this. We're going to do it. We're doing a lot of things. I want to prove what these stones can do to you with an honest-to-goodness, gut-wrenching, push it all out no matter what happens. Because I think a lot of people, and you hit upon this a little bit here, is this. I think a lot of people are really dying to put their teeth into something. And I know the fear. I understand that everything around them is fear-based. You know, the schools are they're not physical anymore. A lot of it is, you know, everyone, you know, we don't want anyone better than the other, et cetera, et cetera. Well, civilizations and anything else never last when it's like that because we always know there's going to be somebody breaking out of the pack that wants to be better, that wants to be the leader, that, you know, wants to, you know, build a better light bulb, et cetera, et cetera. It's been like that since the end, since the beginning of time. And I think things like that are real beneficial, and I love all that style of let's work together, let's be strong together, let's be a unit here, let's lead the pack, let's have people envy what we do, let's have people come and say, you know what, Mike, Eric, you're the best at what you do, teach me everything you can, I'll take it from there and I'll formulate what I want to do with it, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And this is what I think is so important about and when we say how, what, why. How do you want to be the best? How do you want to be remembered, whether it's outside or to yourself? You know, as I always say, I want to squat 250 at 100 years old. Like you said, well, you know, I get to the point I just pretty much fade out when I'm training. I'm right with you on that. There's no way I could sit in a hospital bed. I'd be like, just pull the trigger, man. I can't. And I know that sounds like people are like, oh, geez. Well, you know what? I watched Jimmy in a wheelchair forever as a young boy. Those are things that I deal with in a whole different light than probably most people. And it's like I had my fill of that in my life for that. When I see people, I'm very kind to them with anything like that. And if I see them in a hospital or something like that, I always give them the time and things because it's very important. But there's no damn way in my life, what's left of it, and we never know, that I'll never agree to that one way or the other. I mean, and I know that God can cast a lot of things on you, and your strength might be might have to be used in different ways. But if I have the choice, no way. So those are the things that I believe that really cast a lot on being your best and obviously progressing better. But the question I have for you now, and I almost forgot it, and it, to me it's very interesting. If we look at the older athlete, let's look at the era of, let's say like Dick Butkus and guys of that era and baseball or any of that, and we know there was mental stuff going on back then, but a lot of these creatures, I feel, were more physical. Maybe they didn't overthink a lot of things. What do you think that, you know, obviously we're living in different eras, but boy, oh boy, there were some great, great athletes. I mean, even we'll bring up a guy like Babe Ruth, you know, Rocky Marciano, any of these guys. What was it, Mike, mentally? Was it the hardship, the upbringing, a lot of everything? why were these guys, even though they're not probably mentally trained to the degree we talk about today, why were they so successful with their careers, do you think?
Well, that's a great question, and it's a question I've actually pondered back and forth with a number of different coaches, as sort of like you know listed off a couple of examples of, you know, what was it that made, you know, guys of, you know, previous generations, where there really wasn't that much known about performance and coaching and things of this nature, why were they able to be so exceptional? And you know, in addition to, you know, being, you know, natural athletes, I think that it was the culture. It was generational expectations. Now, a friend of mine who is retired FBI, and his father may have passed. It was a couple of years ago, the last time we spoke, but he told me about his father. His father was also a career FBI agent, but prior to that, his father played professional football. And he told me that in the days, and he was a Pittsburgh Steeler, in the days that his father, you know, played NFL football, it was before, you know, the NFL, and these guys would go from game to game in a school bus.
Mm-hmm.
And they would sleep on the bus because there was no money for a hotel.
Sure.
They would get to the venue, which as many times as not a high school football field, because they played with what was available where they were. There were no professional football stadiums. It was a good day if they were playing in a college town and they had access to a college stadium.
Mm-hmm.
They would get there. They would warm up, they would play the first half, they would come off the field, run the concession stand, play the second half, clean the stadium, get on the bus.
Unbelievable.
That is a guy who, and also they made very little money. On
right.
top of all of that non-glamorous professional athlete stuff, they were making very little money. And they were happy to do it.
Yep.
Because, yep. you know, these were guys who, hey, you know, college was over. We're still playing football. How cool is that? That's how
yep.
they thought about it. They weren't, oh, this, you know, it sucks. I'm on a school bus.
Yeah.
They didn't care. I mean, they probably didn't like the cleaning up the stadium after getting knocked around, you know, with minimal safety equipment in that era. But
mm-hmm.
different world.
Labor of love, I think I'd sum that up as. Seriously, Mike. You know what it is too? You're right. They loved what they were doing. They still had the honor of doing it. But, you know, you read about the older guys, even in the 60s, they had to take a job in the summer because the NFL didn't pay enough, et cetera, et cetera. If you try to tell an athlete now in the NFL that they had to sweep the concession or wherever they were, they'd look at you like you had 15 heads and basically have you fired. That's how it is now. I'll tell you this, and I'll get right back to you. I do not watch much organized sports anymore. I don't really care for the whole tempo, the attitude about everything, and it's too much. It's too much on the entertainment side for me. When I watch a sporting event, I want to see these people mix it up. You know, you have a couple good commentators that know their business, and away we go. I mainly watch now some hockey. I do like the Yankees. Now and then I'll watch a game, but I'm lucky if I'll watch two innings. I just don't have the mental deal with it anymore. I don't know what it is. It might be TV, whatever. But the one thing I'll still watch when I can find it is the old World's Strongest Man on CBS, which is very hard to find, Mike.
Yeah.
I found it last week, and I watched, after I got done lifting, I watched it till midnight, because it was the 3 years in a row Magnus for Magnuson won, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, and I'll make this quick, but this all goes with what we're talking about is this. Now, he had won the two. Then I believe it was the 96 he won. That was in that. It was either 96 or 98. I think it was a 96. And he had some very good people he was competing against. And he was down by the middle. They got into about the middle of the contest. He was down maybe 3 or 4 points. And then he won the next contest. And they shifted the camera to him. And he had a whole different body language on him. I was watching him from the beginning to then, and I was like, this guy's going to pull it out. And I knew he had won it. But what I liked about this whole concept of watching WSM, and now it's gotten a lot more glamorized, I understand the whole deal. You maybe had a few cameras panning to everything, and there wasn't all this noise and this nonsense of stuff all around and all that. It was basically all about the competition, maybe a quick interview or a quick snapshot to whoever it was, and that was it. Let me tell you, not only did it move quicker, but it was far more interesting. It captivated me more. But the point I want to say with all this stuff is I watched these superior athletes, and I watched the winner of the two previous ones who was down in the middle of the contest to make it 3 in a row. And, you know, this is what winning does. This is what creating this mental attitude of I'm the best or I'm going to be the best and I'm going to last for a long time, whether it's competitively or through right to the end of my life. Just that switch that goes off in you, and you look at the athlete and you're like, you know what, that athlete's going to win because I can tell facially right now and the way he carries himself when he walks. So that's me. Go, take it away. I mean, very interesting stuff. I've always been an observer of people. I love to observe people. I love to talk to people, or I wouldn't be doing this. I'll talk to anybody. I don't care. They don't have to. They don't have to lift a cream puff to their mouth. I really don't care. There's always something very interesting and something that you can give and take from anybody you meet. That to me is I'm very lucky. That's a gift for me to be able to not be shy of people, to not be afraid to walk up to a girl, not be afraid to, when you're walking somewhere, they're all looking at you like, what the hell is this that just came through the door? And then someone will come up to you, and obviously they'll ask you the obvious, do you lift weights? Yes, that always seems to ease it, and then you can kind of set the tone because you're going to talk, people are going to come over and ask you what you're doing. Well, you know what? That's why I always say, you know, be an ambassador for the sport, because the sport isn't just when you and I are talking. The sport is like when Mike Gillette, Eric Fiorello, Adam Glass, any of those guys that are on the show and girls walk out into the concrete jungle, as I call it, and don't act like a jerk. You know, have some class. You know, show people you are the best. We're talking about the young kids that you deal with right now. You lead by example. You lead vocally. You lead when they see a video of you, if they don't meet you in person. You lead by your look, by your mannerisms, how you handle yourself, what you're doing. I can't emphasize this enough. It is vitally, vitally important, not only to your success, but those that are coming up, those that are looking to you for inspiration, for guidance, for whatever, because I always say, whatever you say to somebody, like we say near the end of the show, you know, never be afraid to give some words of whether it's inspiration or tell them that it might take you longer in 90 days, but you're going to get it if you try it. So I'll send it back to you. I know that was a little long-winded, but lot on my mind, man. Lot on my mind.
I can tell. I can tell. That's good, though. That's why we love you. Interesting perspective on what makes a good sports broadcast. But the problem is, because I'm kind of the same way, TV can't make stuff that works for guys like you and me because it would be boring to everyone else.
Yep.
You know, and what's crazy is that there are regular people who watch World's Strongest Man.
Yep.
And which I think is really cool because, you know, the odds of them gravitating towards that as a pursuit, unlikely, but it may get them into the gym.
Yeah.
You know, it may get them to Walmart in the sporting goods section, buy a couple of dumbbells, which is still pretty cool. But yeah, I always tell my wife that if there's something on TV and I like it, it's going to get canceled. Because I'm not like regular people, and that pretty much comes true.
But I like that, though. It's going to get canceled.
I think what you're talking about is that you appreciate the purity of things,
yep.
particularly within the realm of strength, and I'm right there with you. And although, you know, there are some application aspects of it, you know, and some training methodology stuff, because I obsess about those sorts of things, the really cool thing about you're talking about stones and you know the group thing and that whole dynamic, I think that the one really cool thing that CrossFit has brought about is the notion that people are getting together in a non-carpeted, oftentimes non-air-conditioned environment, and they're killing themselves.
Yep.
And they may not be there except the fact that other people are expecting them to be there. So mm-hmm. so they're learning about accountability. They're learning about, you know, the importance of shared misery and how that translates. Because I guarantee you, anybody who started doing CrossFit reluctantly
yep.
and were just wasted for that first 6 or 9 months, now what they're doing is, in addition to, you know, hopefully being stronger and being healthy, is they're doing other things differently. They're, if
yep.
nothing else, they're seeing other things differently. And I think that at the end of the day, that's what guys like you, that's what guys like me and a lot of the other people that you have on the show are trying to do. We're trying to give that gift. And I think, again, it comes back to perspective, which I've been sort of banging that drum today. Who is it that you become by doing this thing or
yep.
by pursuing the thing?
Yep.
And be that person. You know, I always say that being the strongest, for, you know, we can call it the best, but I usually sort of frame things in the context of strength, and strength is sort of a multi-layered quality. But the strongest version of Eric Fiorello is going to also be the best version of Eric Fiorello, and it's the version of Eric Fiorello that the world will most benefit from. The strongest version of anyone listening is going to be the best version of that person, and the world needs that. You know, there are a lot of crappy people in the world, always will.
Oh, yeah.
They're never in short supply, and sometimes they're just crappy because they have crappy attitudes, but they're taking up a lot of oxygen with their crappy talk that just sort of floats around in the air, or it, you know, perpetuates on the internet or whatever. So to be an antidote for all of the negativity in the world, all of the stupid, all of the suck, all of the low expectation, imagine if everybody who listens to this podcast really commits to living the truth of this podcast, just
mm-hmm.
to be as strong as they can be, you know, given the limitations that they're dealing with. Because, you know, some people have like legitimate limitations. Still doesn't mean they can't be awesome.
Exactly.
You know? In fact, sometimes it's the people with limitations in their pursuit of being awesome that end up sort of out-awesoming the rest of us.
Oh, yeah. You know, I look at the guys like Gary Clark and Jeff King that are on here, and they have cerebral palsy.
Yeah.
And they go out, Mike, and compete in World's Strongest Man for the Disabled. And, you know, here they are over in Iceland where I am competing. There they are over in the UK competing. And I didn't mean to interrupt you either, but when you said that, you know, there's something when we converse, sparks start cooking with me big time. It's like everything's fusing together right now. And it's like, you know, there's guys legitimate who have limitations, but yet they still can sit in a wheelchair and lift a sphere and throw it on a barrel. I mean, that is utterly amazing, and you don't have to do that. But by God, how could you be human and sit there and not see that and become inspired and say, well, maybe I can take that jump rope now and start jump roping, or maybe I can start walking with a sandbag out in front of me, or better yet, maybe I just start walking. Because when you said that about non-lifters watching WSM, I've gotten at least a half a dozen notes from people that I don't lift weights, I walk, I love your show because it inspires me and I put it on when I walk. Well, you know something, Mike? We've just hit another high note here. You know, I was telling Mike I got a note from a gentleman that loved the show that Mike did, Mike and I do. It was totally complimentary. It's like, you know, I know you hear this from a lot of other people, but we're not like other people. We put out something that we live, man, live. We aren't doing something where we're skimming over somebody's notes or we read an article and we're trying to take it and put it on the human side of them, which it never comes across because basically we're after that, let's shift to a commercial. That's none of that crap here. Mike's a little bit older than I am. Obviously, Mike's got more experience with life, but I've lived life not long enough, in my opinion, but I've lived through some things, man. I've seen some things in my life, you know, and I have a lot of experience in a lot of things like this that a lot of people don't, and I look at life in a whole different perspective. I look at life as loving it as much as I can because I watched somebody I loved lose it at way too young of an age, and it's on my mind constantly during every day. When I think I'm falling, who am I praying to? Who is that angel on my right shoulder? It's Jimmy. Always. Always. I went down to the cemetery the other day. You know, it was Father's Day. I always go down, honor my dad on his birthday, Father's Day. If I'm down that way, I always stop. I'm one of the few people in the family that goes to cemeteries. A lot of them are kind of weirded out by it. That's all right. That's fine with me. You got to deal with things your own way. That doesn't bother me. And there I was on my knees praying that the whole family there, you know, not only for more strength, and I mean mentally, physically, spiritually, but guidance, man. Even a guy like me that is ultra confident and not afraid to tackle things, to have those family members I love more than anything, and I miss in the physical realm, like I always talk about my dad, how I wish he was here so bad because he would have enjoyed the entrepreneurship, the motivation muscle, the FBC, and someone that I could trust if I let my guard down and I don't have to worry about it going all over the place. Not that it even matters anymore, but the point of the matter is when you have a confidant that you trust, and I know in today's world it's very hard to. There's people that I trusted that have just stuck it right through my spine, all right? Why? I have no idea, but it doesn't matter because I'll say this, I'll get right back to you, Mike. I've learned one thing. If anybody out there is going to become an entrepreneur, or even if you are and maybe you've never thought of this, and I never thought of this until this last episode happened with somebody, I will tell you this. If you're pissing your time away worrying about what they said or who they said it to or wanting revenge or any of that nonsense, you know what you're doing? You're killing your business. You're killing your hard work because you are taking all that juice that you should be pushing into yourself, into your business, into people that you want to help, and you're pissing it all away on someone that means nothing to you anymore. So as I always say, get rid of the vampires in your life and choose the road to whatever it is you want to do, to your happiness, to helping, to obviously you're talking about being the best. These are all the credentials, the build. All these things I'm talking about are things that I've learned over the last 3 years of my life and have put together with every other part of my life. They are very beneficial and very essential. And Mike, I'll send it back to you. I that's it. I got it out.
Awesome. That's good. Take a deep breath, and I'll give my parting thoughts on this.
Absolutely.
You know, the reason I think I enjoy talking with you so much, Eric, is one thing, and that's authenticity.
Thank you.
My favorite people in the world are authentic people, people who understand themselves. Even if they don't have themselves figured out, they understand themselves. And they're in the process, and they're just being them. And no better way to live, no stronger way to live than just being you. Mm-hmm. one of the you sort of alluded to this a little bit earlier. You know, you said, you know, Mike, you don't necessarily seem like you know, a guy who would shove things down people's throat. And I do my best to sort of cultivate a demeanor that people can talk to, because I have a lot to overcome with my background. You know, people mm-hmm. think they know me based on that. People, there are some people who will never deal with me because of my background, and you know, it's either offensive to them or it's scary to them, or they yep. they think I'm, you know, a certain collection of attributes based on my background. Yep. That's on them, whatever. But I do come from a particular place professionally, so I do make an attempt to sort of seem like someone you can approach, because I am someone you can approach, and seem like someone you can talk to, because I am someone that you can talk to. But at the same time, as you said, you can't be concerned about the protestations of certain people in the universe. There's going to be some people that just don't want to deal with you, that don't like you. I can find, you know, very complimentary things said about me on the internet. I can find all sorts of negative things. Who cares?
Yeah.
The, you know, you being you and being exactly that, me being me, which, you know, is kind of a, you know, an interesting spectrum of attributes and tendencies. People get it. They can sense what's real, what isn't, and there are those who gravitate towards that, and I think that's why you have the audience that you do. You know, it's because of you, and how you relate to your guests and how you relate to your audience. And mm-hmm. I think that's awesome. And you know, again, it comes back to perspective. You know, what is it that we want? What is it that we want to be about? What do we want to represent? You know, you always talk about being an ambassador for all things strength, and that's huge. The thing that was most resonant with me during our conversation today was, you know, I mean, I alluded to people with limitations. You gave some specific examples of some guys who are competing as, you know, athletes with particular abilities. And what's profound about that to me, and the one thing I want to amplify one last time, is that anybody can be an inspiration. Anybody. And if anyone can be an inspiration, why aren't you, you know, who are listening to the show, if you're not doing that, start doing that. Look for ways to be that person.
Mm-hmm.
And the benefit you will get, you know, because it's powerful when Eric receives a call, a note from somebody who he's made an impact on. It's, I can't even put into words what it is for me when I have those moments myself. It's way bigger than any professional accomplishment, any promotion, any pay raise I've ever had. It's bigger, more important, and more unquantifiable than anything else. I would love to have that for everybody listening. If, mm-hmm. if they would just accept the fact that, hey, you can be a role model, you can be a mentor, you can inspire somebody. So accept that premise. Now go find a way to do it, and then live that, because it's powerful. There you are never going to be stronger than when you are giving your strength away.
Yep. Totally. What else you got, Mike?
That's it, man. I'm done. That's what else? You're getting greedy. That was the good stuff right there.
Do you want to give out your website or anything like that? And then I'll go into mine and we'll just hang on for me, if you would, please.
You bet. I appreciate that. Anybody that wants to probe deeper into all things awesome with me, go to MikeGillette.com. That's a site where it's sort of information central. all of my social media channels are there, so you can keep up with me on all of those. And there's just a lot of content really designed to sort of keep you fueled to fight the good fight, to keep you thinking strong, to keep you thinking awesome thoughts. For people that want to get a little bit deeper into the kinds of things that I share with athletes, but in a non-competitive athlete context, go to strengthpsychology.com. That's the video course. You can also, for those of you who like to read, check out Mind Boss, which is on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com, Mind Boss. And if you're interested in some of the strength programs that I prescribe for others, you can look up Savage Strength, which is distributed through Critical Bench, the Savage Strength program, or the book published by Dragon Door. They make amazing, beautiful books with phenomenal design and photographs. That's Rings of Power, basically how to take gymnastic rings and forge yourself into an absolute freak show of mutant strength, published by Dragon Door.
That's awesome. Is that it, Mike?
That's it, brother.
And, well, don't forget this, too. You know, Mike's done a lot of podcasts with us, too. I put this always on when I write the notes for the show when he's on. Mike's done a lot of podcasts, so go out and listen to those, too. There's we got more content than anybody out there, and the shows Mike and I have done are phenomenal. I always say to Mike, well, this show might have been the best. Well, today, this might have been the best show ever. I don't know. We always seem to top every show to me, and this is why it's so enjoyable to work with Mike. And, you know, everybody. I'm not singling anybody out, but Mike and I definitely have a very good point of reference together, and I enjoy that. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com. Also, Athlete's Choice, Steven Santangelo, Primal Creations at AOL.com, STEPHEN.SANTANGELO.75. That he's out on Facebook there. Don't forget Fiorello Barbell Co., the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. Free ebook. You heard us today. I mean, we talked about everything. Everything. You want to be your best, commit to it, take action. Also on FiorelloBarbellCo.com, Strength Times Power Equals Success and the Winner's Circle. The Winner's Circle is something you definitely, they're both killer products here. But the Winner's Circle is not only going to go over the movements I feel that was to that date and time that will build the living life out of you, but I talk about a lot of the mental game there. It's something everybody should go out and look at. It's reasonably priced, and I mean the amount of content and data there is unbelievable. Also, too, we're going to have a big announcement, but we're going to be doing a new show called 5 for 15. With different people have been on the show. There's going to be others I am going to contact to see if they want to do it. This is going to be 15 minutes of the most blistering stuff you've ever heard. It'll probably blister your tongue as you're screaming back at it. We want to help people on their way to work to really have not only a great day, but to have not only an inspirational day, but to go in and do whatever they do the best they can, no matter how they feel. And I hope this will inspire a lot of you out there who have entrepreneurial dreams to go after it. And we're going to be getting into this more and more with this side of Motivation and Muscle. I was telling Mike some things that are going on in the marketing end. I hope within the next few years we're going to have some big marketing offers for everybody out there, because I'm really tired of getting screwed and seeing a lot of people get screwed through their business. There's going to be a few of us out there that you're going to really be able to gravitate to, and we will have the experience to help everybody. We want to become the knowledge base of everything out there, whether it's entrepreneurship, whether it's training, whether it's motivation, whether it's all the psychological stuff. You heard Mike about Mind Boss. It's a smoking book. Smoking book. He brings all that here. I bring a lot with me. There's going to be a lot of big things coming, that's all. And I'm not going to get ahead of myself. We will make it. We take one small step at a time, as I say. I'd much rather take a football field of a step. But right now, we have to go with what we've got. And you have to be disciplined and learn how to work it. So, FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationMuscle.com, or on iTunes and Stitcher. Please give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten. We appreciate that. If there's a show you'd like Mike and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. And I'll leave you with these 5 things. Number 1, if someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to offer words of wisdom. What you think is nothing could be the biggest thing that person's ever heard. Think about that, what you can create. You never know whose life you're touching with a few words. Secondly, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to somebody or give them a smile. That might be all they get, and I think in today's world it's more prevalent than ever. Number 3, if you're going to go out and lift today, bend it, crush it, press it, pull it, squat it, and if you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoosa Steel Crusher says in Blood Red, domination. We are domination. We don't follow anyone's path. We clear cut our own. And as I say on anything I write now, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. Go out and dominate whatever you do. Obliterate your goals. Create new goals. And if you have an off day, and we all do, put the biggest dent in whatever you're doing, because you're letting it know, I'm going to come back and take you another day. Very important words. I live by those 3 words now all the time, no matter what. No one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur said, who's been listening to this show from the very beginning and who was just on last week, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. Russell, I thank you for that compliment. We will say that for the next 30 years, I promise you. Mike Gillette, what can I say? I could say classic, the best. I'll just leave it at this. Today I felt I ran into a concrete wall, but in a good way. So thanks for being on the show, sir.
Always my pleasure, Eric.
Great to have you. Okay, before we sign off, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the sidelines and watch the world go by. Tell 100 of your friends, because we're coming for you anyways. So for Mike Gillette, this is Eric Fiorello. Mike will be on with us next month. So all I can say is we'll get this show up quickly. And you know something? Be the best you can be. Have a great week, everybody. Today we've got Will Dinwiddie on today. And we have many more people coming on this week. We've got Dr. Wong, you know, the whole thing. Mark DeGrasse, he'll be on in about 2.5 hours. He's brand new to the show. You're going to really enjoy this gentleman. And as I say, you know, we got Adam T. Glass tomorrow. We got a lot of stuff going on. So have a great week, everybody. Do something magnificent. The world can be yours if you really want it. Have a good
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.